As the sun rises in the east, you're filled with awe at our Creator and of the many wonders He has made. What an opportunity we're given to explore the outdoors with others, building relationships with them that will last an eternity. Join us now as we explore the numerous ways to use time on the trail to adventure to bring others into a relationship with the One who spoke the creation into existence. Here now is Jerry Calouette, the host of God's Great Outdoors.
All right, Jerry Calouette, God's Great Outdoors. We're in Louisville, Kentucky at the Archery Trade Association show. And right now we're in the Hunter Safety System booth, and we're with Jay Everett. Jay, first time on God's Great Outdoors. Welcome.
Thank you, Jerry. Good to be here. Appreciate you stopping by.
Quite a blessing that you are pulling yourself away, because we're going to be talking about a subject that we normally try to address at least once a year, and that is tree stand safety. One out of every three people that hunts out of a tree stand for years and years, the statistic doesn't seem to have changed, will have an accident at some time in their life. But we're going to talk about how to keep away from that. Maybe the moms and the kids need to come to the radio, because if dad hunts and he's not using the tree stand safety devices that are out there, we can encourage you to encourage them to do that so that you'll have a long and happy life together. But Jay, before we go looking at tree stand safety and how we can be dealing with that particular issue, maybe you can share with the listeners how you got involved in the outdoors. I think you're originally from Michigan. Got a lot of listeners up there. Down in Alabama now. Maybe tell us about the outdoors, you as a kid, fishing, hunting with mom, dad, grandma, grandpa. How did that all transpire for you?
The owners here, Jerry and John Widener, are from Michigan and moved to Alabama. I'm actually from Alabama, you know, so I'm an Alabama native, but the guys that own the company are from Michigan and moved to Alabama. But how I got into hunting and fishing is, you know, I grew up in a small town. Actually, didn't grow up in town. I grew up in the country. We were about 8 miles from town. And so my dad owned a business in town. So it was my job to, you know, make sure the hogs were fed and the cows were fed and the fences were up to snuff and all that jazz. And when that was done and the schoolwork was done, I had the rest of the day to do whatever. So I grew up chasing. My dad was not much of a hunter, but my uncles were. And so when I had spare time around the home, I'm chasing rabbits or quail or whatever, or fishing. But we didn't have deer where I was growing up. And how I got into deer hunting was, you know, you always want what you don't have. And my uncles would go deer hunting, and I'd hear them talking about it at church. And, oh, man, I just couldn't wait to go deer hunting. And when I was about 12 years old, they started taking me along with them. And I was bit before I went the first time deer hunting. I was already bit with the bug pretty bad. Ever since then, I just always have hunted and don't know anything else but that. So it's just going from that to getting in the industry, it just was a passion of mine. And when I got into my early 20s, I guess it was, I was approached by a gentleman who's passed on now, Charlie Lane, with Buckmasters, and he headed up the American Deer Foundation for Buckmasters, and they raised money for taking disabled hunters on hunts and their Project Venison. Charlie really challenged me to, hey, we need a chapter down here where you guys are at. So talked me into doing that, really helped me and supported me, and we started a chapter, and it was a very successful chapter, and ran that for about 5 years and passed the torch on to my vice president. And then I started doing a hunting expo with Jerry Widener, who is one of the owners of Hunter Safety System. And we did that in 2000, and then in 2001 is when John Widener, Jerry's brother, had his fall from a tree stand, which gave him the idea for the Hunter Safety System. That went from an idea to a business very quickly. But John lived in North Alabama. Jerry and I lived in South Alabama. And Jerry joined his brother in that venture. They asked me to move north at the time, but I couldn't. I had a young family, and all of our family was at home, and so we stayed very close. 2014, Jerry called me, and he said, hey, any chance your situation's changed? Can you come up to North Alabama now? And I talked to the wife about it. We prayed about it. And prayed about it, and prayed about it, and then prayed about it some more. And then we never could come to a decision. So it's kind of a funny story. My wife and I finally just agreed, okay, there's three things that need to happen here that are completely out of our control. They're out of our influence, for that matter. We're just going to give this to God, and just if those three things happen the way they need to happen, then we're going to North Alabama, no questions asked. If any one of those three don't happen, then okay, so we'll stay at home. So we prayed about it that night together, and those three things happened, which I thought would take weeks, possibly months to happen, happened in 48 hours. So it's kind of laughable, kind of freaked me out a little bit, to tell you the truth, because I've just never had an answer that was just that much, that obvious, and happened that quick. So we were like, okay, no looking back. So we put the house up for sale, and I accepted the job with those guys. And first day on the job was here at the ATA show in 2014, and it's been no looking back.
Well, certainly, folks, that number is 1-800-CALL-GOD if you want those kinds of results, and I'm joking. We're going to just believe that God can certainly answer prayers, sometimes much quicker than we expect Him to. He's never late, but seldom early. In this case, that wasn't the case. But in the midst of doing all that tree stand hunting, occasionally maybe a deer will run in front of your arrow and you'll be able to bring home some venison. That's reminding me that my wife Cindy is standing by to share some recipes. You can send in your recipes, how you're preparing the wild fish game or plants you're harvesting. Let us know who it is that you're spending time in the outdoors with, the kind of activity you like to do, and we'll get you a copy of Steve Chapman's book, Outdoor Insights. They're autographed, and we'll be right back after Cindy shares this.
Now, friends, if you are looking for some of the best wild game and fish recipes to savor the experience of your family's time afield or stream, we've got the cookbook for you. Steve Chapman, author of A Look at Life from a Deer Stand, and his wife Annie have teamed up to write The Hunter's Cookbook. This book is packed with over 200 recipes to turn wild meats and fish into mouth-watering meals. Also scattered amongst the pages are Steve's family's hunting and fishing stories to read while cooking, and Steve Chapman's hand-sketched drawings to complement the stories and recipes too. The Hunter's Cookbook by Steve and Annie Chapman is on our website store at ggoutdoors.org, or call us here at 937-698-3656 to order over the phone. And would you please like us on Facebook at God's Great Outdoors Radio? Remember Genesis 9:3, everything that lives and moves will be food for you. Just as I gave you the green plants, I now give you everything.
We're back, Jerry Calouette, God's Great Outdoors, again with Jay Everett. We're in Louisville, Kentucky at the Archery Trade Association show, and right now we're in the Hunter Safety System booth and talking about how you wound up getting where you are here. And now we'll be curious to find out about, so you mentioned church. Certainly you can go to church and not have a personal relationship with Christ. Maybe you can give us a little bit of your testimony of how God finally spoke to you in a way that you had to ask Him into your heart.
Well, Jerry, I was very blessed. I grew up in a family that was very involved in church. My grandfather and I were very close and spent a lot of time with him, a lot of summers with him. And I grew up steeped in Christian faith, in a Christian home. 15 years old is when I finally made the decision that, okay, this is who I am. Life goes on, you grow up, you go through ebbs and flows. Got into my adult life, and life throws you some real curves sometimes. My story isn't one where I lived a really terrible life and went to jail and found God. That's not my story. I really appreciate people that have those stories. That's not mine. I grew up in a Christian home, and it's like I got into my early adult life and kind of, say, walked away from God, but wasn't really living up to the standard that I should be. But God put people in my life that challenged me, that held me accountable, and kind of brought me back around. And I learned through that whole process. I mean, I went through some rough times there for a while, but I learned through those times that, you know, God is absolutely faithful. Everybody has their own story. Like I said, some people have the stories where they grew up in a home that was, they were unchurched and found God later in life. I've always had a relationship with God. That relationship has ebbed and flowed. God's always been faithful, even when I was not, especially when I was not, it almost seems. The older I get, the more I look back on my life, the more I appreciate that and see God's hand in every step of my life. And sometimes when God was quiet, if you will, that God was nowhere to be found that I could see, I can look back now and I see that God was there the whole time. That, to me, is part of sanctification, part of the transformation, and part of the maturing process of going from I'm a Christian to I'm a person who really has a relationship with Christ that is part of who I am, part of my DNA, part of my identity. That's kind of where I'm at. My story wasn't just one big whammo, stars fell from the sky moment. Mine has been a lifelong process. So mine's not as exciting as some people's stories, but it's my story, and I'm proud that God fought enough of a guy like me to put up with me the way he did for so many years.
Certainly, it's a personal relationship molded to each person the way God intends for it to be, and knowing that all things are going to work together for good to those that love him and called according to his purpose. And that's Romans 8:28. So we can just give God the glory for everything he does in each of our lives and then share that with others because he can do it in their life as well. We're going to take one more break. We'll be back after this.
This radio program is possible because of financial help from our listeners. And for this help, we are truly blessed. God's Great Outdoors thanks the Lord for all of you who have helped us reach 23 years on the air.
Additional underwriting support is by Matthews Archery and their all-new Engaged Grip Vertex Bow, plus Mission Archery with a revolutionary technology and design that provides a maximum crossbow experience. And by Antler King, the leader in wildlife nutrition products, bigger bucks, healthier deer. Also, Three Rivers Archery, supplying what one needs to make their own bows and arrows, and Hunter Safety System, saving lives is what we do. Plus, Bucks Unlimited, a real estate company, offering both land purchase and management services in several Midwestern states.
Polestar Outdoors is a nonprofit Christian organization whose sole passion is to come alongside young people and, by utilizing the outdoors, help guide them through life. We use hunting, fishing, camping, hiking, and competitive shooting to try to impact the students of this generation. For more information, go to our website at polestar-outdoors.org or call 307-254-4179.
Did you know that one deer can feed up to 200 hungry people? Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry helps hunters return to their God-given heritage as food providers. Please check out our website at fhfh.org or call our toll-free donation number 1-866-GET-FHFH. Help us spread this ministry and get more free hunting gear than the amount you actually donate. And remember, your venison never tasted so good.
We're back, Jerry Calluette, God's Great Outdoors, and again, we're in Louisville, Kentucky at the ATA show, Archery Trade Association show, where folks come in to look at the products that are available to sell in the stores, the hunting and the archery equipment, and we're with Jay Everett, Hunting Safety Systems, in their booth. Jay, through the years, we've done these programs looking at having tree stand safety. I had mentioned the statistic earlier. One of the guys here in the booth said 50% of the people that climb into trees don't even wear some kind of a harness or belt or whatever. Not that you would want a belt. The harnesses are so important because they're designed to keep you alive. If you are hanging from the tree, the belt actually suffocates you. But not wearing anything, just can't understand that. Why don't we talk about the importance of being hooked up as you're on the ground, going up into the tree, the whole time you're in the tree and hooked up, coming down, so that if something takes place, you're going to be able to get your feet back on the ladder or the steps and live to hunt another day.
Well, we do a lot of research, if you will, try to look at statistically what's going on. Also, kind of when we hear of an incident of a fall, to kind of look at it, break it down, and kind of dissect what is the anatomy of a tree stand fall. What does it look like? Also, we look at trends in the short term. We also look at trends over a period of years. And as what you and I were talking off air earlier, average number of deaths that we've had, which there's more to tree stand falls than fatalities. There's a lot of people in wheelchairs. A lot of people fully recover from tree stand falls. A lot of people don't. But deaths are how we, that's kind of our measurement, our touchstone measurement is the number of tree stand fatalities. For the past 20 years, we've been averaging 23 deaths a year. Some years as high as 29 deaths, some years as low as 18 deaths. We really haven't seen that number change since we started a hunter safety system in 2001. And that's really frustrating, disappointing, discouraging even. We felt like we ought to be seeing that number impacted, and we really haven't. And about 3 years ago, the guys started to, they started down this path before I came along, started to look at the why is this? And when I came along, I kind of really honed in on why is this? And we figured out that as we started interviewing people that had fallen, they weren't falling from their tree stand. They were falling getting to their tree stand or getting into their tree stand or getting out of their tree stand or climbing down from their tree stand. That's when the fall was occurring. And they weren't connected at that time when the fall would happen. And we already had the product, our product, the Lifeline, out that mitigates that risk. But we didn't really appreciate how important that thing was at that time. And so starting in 2014, our messaging completely changed. And we really focused our message around the idea of staying connected all the time. And as I was mentioning to you earlier, the last year was one of the lowest years in numbers of fatalities that we'd ever had in 2014, which is the year before last now. I forget that it's we're in 16 already, but 2014, that we could find, we only had 17 deaths. This year, as season winds down, the jury's still out, but right now we're looking at only 10 deaths this year, which, if that's the case, is a record low number of tree stand fatalities that we've ever had. And that is, to say that's exciting is just an understatement. To be a part of that is just really, I don't know, that's just, it's a God thing. That is a, that blessing that I don't have words to describe, especially when we get to hear from some of those guys, and we do. We've heard from several people this year that have called us just to say thank you because they fail. They were wearing our harness and a harness, and our Lifeline caught them. When you get those stories, it just really makes coming to work a whole lot, a whole lot more fun coming to work. We still get the other stories. There's a gentleman I've gotten to be friends with. This year, he and his dad were hunting. He found his dad dead at the base of the tree. His dad wasn't wearing anything and fell out of the tree. And that's just gut-wrenching to see that, see them go through the holidays without his dad. That's what drives us, but hearing the good stories when it does turn out right is really what encourages us.
Well, certainly that's the message of this program, and want the listeners to understand how important it is to be safe. Certainly you wouldn't use maybe a table saw without the guard. If you do, you may lose fingers, but you can recover from losing fingers. You can't necessarily recover from a tree stand accident. So putting thought into that, and even the relatives that are listening may put some words to the thought that they have to be sure that dad, mom, the kids, as they're going afield, going hunting, climbing in the tree stand, are staying protected in there and coming back down. And we just appreciate the fact that you guys are doing that, and that there are others in the industry that are following that same practice, and appreciate you breaking away from the show and sharing with all our listeners about the importance of the safety in the tree, and sharing a little bit about who you are and what God has done in your life, and talking to all the listeners here on God's Great Outdoors.
Jerry, thank you as well, and I appreciate you taking the time to discuss this topic, because it's, you can't overstate the importance of tree stand safety. It is, in the hunting industry, it is the number one cause of death and serious injury, and it's just so simple to avoid it. It's so simple. Appreciate you taking time to stop by.
Now, friends, I do hope that this program has helped you in some way in relationship to your time in the tree stand on those hunting trips afield. If so, can you let us know by emailing us at ggoutdoors@aol.com, or if you care to, you can like us on Facebook at God's Great Outdoors Radio. Now, clearly, it's just so important to stay hooked up, connected, if you will, to that rope going up into the stand, getting into your stand, while in the stand, and coming out, and then going back down to the earth. Do you understand that there's a relationship with safety and being hooked up to that rope? How much more so is connecting with the Savior, Jesus Christ, having that relationship? As I tell my grandkids, Jesus is the most important thing ever. He's for eternity. As you were listening, I wonder perhaps if you were thinking, I do all of that when it comes to tree stand safety. I'm okay too when using a saw or hammer, as I always use safety glasses, seat belts always on in the car, helmets always in place on my head when I climb onto the ATV, and so on. But here's the question, where are you at when it comes to your spiritual position in relationship to Jesus Christ, the blood that was shed on the cross, His death, burial, and resurrection, and where you will spend eternity? If there's even a bit of doubt that if you died this minute, that you'd be in His presence, welcomed in, or instead told that I never knew you, cast into hell, where the worm never dies, there's wailing and gnashing of teeth, and the fire is there for eternity in outer darkness, separated from God. Do you have that concern? Can you say for certain that if you died, you'd be welcomed into the presence of the Creator God, Jesus Christ? Now, friends, if you have the slightest bit of doubt, you're not certain, or maybe you know for sure you've never asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior and began a personal relationship with Him, and you'd like to have some help doing that, you'd like to talk to someone about some issues before you make that commitment or pray that prayer, you know, there is someone waiting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, that can help you begin that relationship with Jesus Christ. All you need to do is call 1-888-NEED-HIM. Again, that's 1-888 and the words need Him, because we all need Jesus. There is no other way to get into the presence of God and have Him greet us and welcome us unless we are covered by the blood that was shed on the cross by Jesus. Please, why don't you make that call, 1-888-NEED-HIM. Then you can have that certainty and that peace that passes all understanding that if you died this day, that you will be able to be for eternity with the Creator God, where there is no more pain, no more suffering, no more tears. He will be our God, we will be His people, and He will be with us, and we won't need the sun, moon, or stars because He'll be our light. Please don't wait. Make that call, 1-888-NEED-HIM. I do promise you will be so glad that you did.
Here's a one that got away fishing story from God's Great Outdoors. An Orvis-endorsed fly fishing instructor and guide, Dick Rebar has also loved to canoe all his life. That love was kindled by his father, who taught Dick the proper way to handle a canoe. Top on his dad's list was safety. Only once did Dick shy away from honoring his father's lessons in canoeing safety, and it almost cost him and his wife their lives. Preparing to take his wife with him on her first ever canoe trip, Dick decided to have his young bride accompany him to a local beaver pond. It was the evening before they would be leaving with the others in the trail club to which Dick was a member of. The April air was cool, the water temperature was just in the 40s. Trying to be nice, he placed a small stump in the canoe for his wife to sit on. That was his first mistake, and his father, being the man of sense and safety he was, had taught him to always kneel on a canoe's floor to keep the center of gravity as low as possible. Dick says, "If that wasn't dumb enough, I, for some reason, had hip boots on. Something my pop always preached against while in a canoe." Well, the two paddled out, and Dick began instructing on the way to paddle the watercraft. When his novice mate began paddling on the same side as Dick, the canoe started to lean, and over it went, spilling them under the pond's surface. The water was so cold, it took their breath away. Thus, Dick was unable to tell his wife what to do, and his hip boots were now full of water pulling him down. Thank God Dick had not hooked the boots to his belt, so he worked to pull first one and then the other one off. With the weight of the boots gone, he helped his wife to the shore and safety. Now, Dick Rebar may have been acting unsafely when it comes to canoeing, but Dick is safe in looking toward the life he'll live in the hereafter. If you also want to have the peace of a safe journey into the next life, a life at peace with Jesus Christ, call, write, or email us here at God's Great Outdoors, and we'll send you the free booklet by Ron Lindner called The End of the Line.
Did you enjoy that story? Do you know that you can get that story in the book Hunting Blunders and the One That Got Away? You can get copies to give to those that God has placed on your heart that you know need to have a personal relationship with the Creator in the creation they love to enjoy. You can order copies through our web store at ggoutdoors.org. Why don't you contact us and get a copy today?
We're thankful for today's guest and the fact that you joined us as well. We'd love to hear how God has spoken to you. please write to us and mail it to 8193 Emmerich Road, West Milton, Ohio, 45383. I'm John Skillman, inviting you to always consider how to make wise use of your time in God's great outdoors.